Y'all continue to pray the Lord be in the matter. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. This thought that I had coming in today or to this meeting, and then this morning they started talking about sheep and shepherds and kind of got me worried for a minute, but I think confirmed that pray that the Lord was what put this on my heart today. In the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, Lord's speaking to Israel, speaking to those that had power in Israel, those that were the shepherds over his people. And they were not doing the things they should be doing. They were bad shepherds. You know, I don't know how you feel, how you identify. You know, we talk about spiritual, you know, what's your spirit animal? You know, most people want to say, I identify, my last name is Brown. I always like brown bears. I'm a bear. Ferocious, right? My mom likes that. She went to Baylor. She likes bears. Most people want something that's a predator, right? Something that's independent, something that, you know, they are in charge of themselves, and that's the way we all want to feel, right? We all want to feel like I can do it myself. I have it figured out, and I can stand up and I can defeat whatever comes at me. We are not predators. We're sheep. In the world today, you will hear derogatory things said about sheep. You're just a sheep. You'll follow whatever is going on. You're just follow whatever is put in front of you. And in a large extent, a lot of people are that way, that they'll just follow whatever the popular thing is. But I would say that we need leadership. We need leadership. I crave leadership myself, and I'm in charge, and you know, not in charge, but I am charged with, put it that way, leading my family, leading a group of employees at my job, leading and trying to shepherd a flock of God's people. This group of people, they were put in charge, and they were charged by God to shepherd the flock and to show leadership, and they did not do that. Instead, what they did was corrupt God's service. They took the sacrifices that were meant for God, and they took them for themselves. They stole from the people, but the ultimate thing was that they stole from God. They took payment for a service that they didn't do, and they took the payment that was due to the Lord and took it for themselves. And so here in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, in the halfway through the second verse, it says, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." These men were not feeding the flock. They were not leading. They were not doing the things that they were supposed to do. Now, what happens with sheep? Like, sheep need care. They are a animal, their livestock, that need care. In the time of David, as a young shepherd, he would live with the sheep. He would be out in the field with the sheep. He would be have very minimal tools at his disposal. What he would carry with him on his back, he would be in the field. He would have a staff, which is a unique tool for shepherding. It's a long pole with a hook at the end. He would have a staff, and he would have a rod that was about 18 to 24 inches long with a ball at the end, like a heavy part at the end, whatever shape, whatever they carved it out of. But that was used for multiple reasons. It was used for defense, to stave off predators. It was used for correcting sheep in not an abusive way. If you ever have animals and livestock, those are dear to you. You don't want to injure your livestock, right? You don't want to injure things. It wasn't meant as a club to bash, but to correct and to nudge It was also used to inspect, you know, sheep have wool, and there can be things, critters, you know, bugs and things in the wool. There can be injuries that are hidden by the wool. You can use that rod to run it over the wool to separate and to see down into the wool. Now, when you picture sheep and Lamb of God and the artistry that we've seen in our lives, you're probably picturing some European sheep. You know, white with curly fleece that's, it was mentioned earlier, that, you know, their hair can grow and they don't shed. Their shedding was bred out of them. At the time of, when this was written, in the time of David, they had what were called fat-tailed sheep. They had longer legs and they had a straighter fleece, and they did shed, but still they would be sheared once a year, and it was good for them, and also provided something for the shepherd. But they would use these tools, and of course you know the story of David and Goliath. There was another tool that really doesn't go into my sermon, but that's another tool they would have, a sling, possibly. They would have a medicine pouch. They would have, you know, if you've ever cared for livestock, you go out, check cows or whatever, generally you take things with you in case you see a cow or a sheep or whatever that needs some doctoring. You want it there with you so you can take care of it in the moment. They would have these things to carry them with them, ointments and oils and things like that. A good shepherd lives with the sheep. He loves his sheep. He cares for them. And as it was mentioned this morning, he knows them individually. He's inspecting each one. Oils, they would take the oil and pour it on their head and their face to keep the flies and things off of them. They would go out into the field and they would inspect the field for predators and drive them off and tend to them. We know the stories of David killing a lion and a bear to protect his sheep. They would take care of the sheep. And they would prepare the field. And you think about a high elevated prairie. It would be like a mesa. Sometimes it's called a tableland. It looks like you look at it from afar off. It's got slopes, and then at the top it's flat. Good grass at certain times of the year, right? You would definitely, where this took place, you would be concerned with water. It's not the most plentiful resource. So you'd know where the water was, where the good water was, and you would make sure, just like we need clean water, animals need clean water, you take care of your water. You make sure that they have good, cool, clean water. But you take care, a good shepherd cares for his sheep. He cares for them in a real way. He provides provision for his sheep. Make sure he feeds the sheep, and he takes care of them. One thing that they would have, we call them pens. We benefit from fences. These days, you have, for sheep, you probably have a net wire fence that would keep them where you want them, right? You don't have to live out there with them. You might have a sheepdog. I don't think they benefited from sheepdogs in that day. But we have this benefit of these things. There, they didn't have that. You had to be out there with them. They had to lead them. I think about King David as a young shepherd and a psalmist playing the harp and singing. His sheep probably came to enjoy David singing to them. I imagine they knew his voice. They would hear his songs. I'm sure he sang out loud to them, and he practiced his songs with them. But they became to know his voice. At times, you know, you got to sleep, right? So a shepherd's got to sleep. He's got to sometimes go to restock, do things. At night, he's got to sleep. And so what he would do with his sheep is you would lead them into the fold. The fold is mostly circular, or, you know, it's a stone enclosure, a pen. And they were usually built out of stone. You might have, in the mountains, you might have a cleft in a rock where you would you would get them in there and you can narrow the opening. It would have an opening, and it would have a narrow opening so you could lead them in. You could inspect the sheep as they go in. If you know anything about animals, when they congregate, where they congregate, that's where diseases are passed. Right? That's where things can infect another. around water holes. If you got bird feeders, diseases with birds transmit at your bird feeders. Right, wherever they congregate and they come together is where things can pass from one to another. So when the sheep are going into the fold, you don't want one that's sick going in with the rest of them and getting the other sick, right? You need to inspect them with that rod. You need to pay attention to what's going on. And if one's, you need to get it separated and get it doctored. You need to attend to it. Not shun it. Not just say this one's gone, but doctor it and keep it well if you can. You know, I'm talking about natural sense, but... So that's the fold. The shepherd would lay in the opening to get his rest. He knew that his sheep were in the fold. He would lay in that opening. If any sheep were to come out, he would know it. Right? If anything would try to get in other than from the sides, he would know it. So that's what a good shepherd would do. Here, we're again in the 34th chapter. We're not talking about good shepherds. We're talking about bad shepherds. They didn't feed the flock. They didn't tend to them. In the fifth verse, it says, "And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." So one thing about sheep, that, you know, the European-type sheep, you know, Case, my oldest, when he was four, he did mutton busting and Colt's about to here in a few weeks. We got the rodeo at Gatesville. He's going to try his hand at mutton busting. And one thing they do, when if you've ever watched it, is they put a mature ewe out in the middle of the arena. And when a kid comes out on the sheep and gets bucked off, they go gather together. They find that mature ewe and they gather together. These fat-tailed sheep had a tendency to wander. That's one thing about it. They wanted, right? They were in want. They weren't being taken care of. Their needs weren't being provided for. And so they had to go elsewhere to look for provision. They had to go find some place to get good grass. They had to go find somewhere else to get water. They had to go find some other place, and they were scattered and wandering off because they had no leadership. We need leadership. We need provision. He says, there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. They're not very good at protecting themselves. You know, sheep are vulnerable. Pictures are from my childhood of my grandpa having sheep were popping into my mind with a neighbor dog. A little too graphic. But they are vulnerable to predators. They need tending to. They need to be cared for. I think about this video, it's pretty, I think, viral. So there's somebody laying a utility line, right? They've trenched this long line, and the sheep has found itself in the trench. And shepherd comes, and he pulls it out, and it goes hop, 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 back in the trench. You know, they're not the brightest animals in the world, and they need to be taken care of. That shepherd's staff, with that hook at the end, you know, it's used to direct, to move, to pull, to hook, and to draw, right? That's why it's got the hook at the end. You can hook and draw it towards you. When I think about none cometh separate his father draws them, you know, often the analogy of the water in the well is given. I've come to think about this shepherd and his hook drawing the sheep in. It's another way just to pull that animal to you, to hook him and pull him to you. To get them out of danger, to get them away and get them to where you can tend to and give them what they need. It says in the sixth verse, "My sheep wandered through the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall they shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. They were praying, the shepherds who are in charge of taking care of the flock were praying on the flock. They were praying on them. And God said, I will require my shepherds at your hand. I'm putting an end to it. I'm done. Like, this is over. I'm going to deliver my sheep. And I will say that if we go, I'm going to skip some and come back. If we go down to about the 17th verse, you start seeing, you know, the sheep, you're not off the hook, right? The sheep weren't behaving the way a good sheep should. Like, the sheep, they all have different personalities. We all have different personalities, right? We're different. We are individuals. It's not you. You see a herd of sheep, for us, it looks like just a monotony. You might as well be a flock of birds just going in the wind. They all look the same, right? But we're all individuals. They have personalities, right? Some are mean. Some will wander more than others. Some are timid and shy, just like any one of us in here. They have personalities. But they, it says, and as, in the 17th verse, and as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. He judges, he's judging them between them. It says in the 18th verse, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture. It seemed like a small thing to you. You were just getting yours, right? There was no leader. There was nobody in charge, nobody guiding you and rotating you to where the good field was. There's a book called The Tragedy of the Commons. And you're in any kind of conservation, it's probably in your coursework. The Tragedy of the Commons, the basic story is that if you just let everybody, this is common field, and you let everybody get what they want out of it, there's not going to be anything left, right? Because we're all going to compete for what's there. And we're going to go in, we're going to trample it all. When you're thinking about livestock, you're thinking about grass. There's a certain amount of browse you want to take, and then you want to get them off of it, let it rest, let it recover, right? And when you're trying to stock and figure out how many you can fit, you got to consider the fact that a lot of the grass isn't going to get eaten. It's going to get trampled on. They're only going to want the good grass that tastes good to them. They're not going to take the bad stuff. And so if you don't do it right, you're going to end up with no good grass, nothing but undesirable. You know, a lot of y'all are going to say weeds. I'm a conservationist. I don't say weeds. But I say forbs, right? So there's going to be a lot of undesirable for your purpose plants out there, because all the good stuff's going to get eaten away. Right, that's what the picture that he's showing here. That it seemeth a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture. We need to be considerate of one another. We need to think about one another. We need to esteem one another higher than ourselves. We need to make sure that everybody gets taken care of. And, you know, if you're behind me in the dessert line and there's dirt cake, you want to, that's a problem that I have. You know, you might not get your share. But when we're talking about the things of God, His store of grace and His store of mercy is boundless. That's something that we can indulge in. We can all come to the fold, and we can indulge in the grace of God. We can indulge in His mercy. We can all take our fill of it, and it will never run out. He says, and it's the 19th verse, and as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle, between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. So they're scattering each other, right? They're fighting. They're throwing bows, right, in the throng, Brother James. They are offending one another, and the strong are running the weak out, right? The ones that may need help the most, the strong are running them out. He says, because ye have thrust with the... just read that. Therefore, I'll save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace. This is a prophecy, right? This is not talking about, he's not talking about the King David. He's talking about the seed of David. He's talking about the, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Moving backwards again, he says, as a shepherd seeketh, in the 12th verse, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Cause them to rest. Cause them to stop from their struggle, stop from their strife and their torment, and cause them to lay down and rest in a good fat pasture. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Back in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, it says, let me go there before I misquote. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, I lost my mark. It says that Sharon will be a fold of flocks. So it'll be a Sharon, the Valley of Sharon is known as a plentiful, bountiful valley, a coastal plain with plenty of good grass, and it symbolizes a good pasture. It symbolizes a bounty of goodness. It says an acre will be something. Here it is. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Acre a place for the herds to lie down, and for my people that have sought me. So Acre is a place of desolation. It's a place where the predators roam. But nevertheless, God is saying that even there will my flock be safe. They will be tended to. I will be a good shepherd, and I will protect my sheep wherever their feet may find themselves. That's where I will be with them. And it says in the 9th verse, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell with me there. So again, a prophecy that we see fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So remember that image of the fold that we had, that pen that was made out of stone with a narrow opening where the door, the shepherd, is the door who laid in the opening. He says, anyone that comes any other way, but coming up over the side, they're a thief and a robber. They didn't come through the door. They didn't come because they could belong there. They came to steal, to kill, and to rob. He says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Think about King David out there singing to his sheep. You know one thing? I'm not the first person to say this from the stand, but nevertheless, it's true, right? When you call up your animals, a lot of people have a unique call. Some people put sirens on their truck, or some people honk, or some have a certain holler that they do. And the animals know their voice, and they come because they get fed. They hear that, They come running because they're going to get fed. And if you don't feed them when they come, they're going to stop coming, right? You have to train them. Some of us train into them. When our ministers in a room, you know, we want to be good shepherds, right? We want to seek the wounded. We want to seek the lost, those that are scattered. We want to seek them. And it's not just up to us. I say that each of us in the congregation, as a brother and sister in Christ, you want to seek those that are wounded and lost and try to tend to them. We want to care for one another. Because as much as this analogy is true in so many ways, we are not actually sheep, right? We are people that have hearts and desires, and we can think and we can have compassion and empathy for one another and tend to one another. But we hear the voice of the Lord, and we come and to be fed. He says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You know, I wish that that were true 100% of the time. I wish that every time a false prophet or someone who came with the wisdom of the world came speaking in eloquent tongues, that we would all just know that that was false just because we know it, and not follow. Unfortunately, in time, we can go astray. We can be misled. A minister who has been blessed to preach the truth for many years can fall into error and lead his flock astray. It's happened, and we've got to be careful. I wish that each of us had the discernment of the Lord, that we would know and be able to detect, and we should keep our eyes up for that and our ears up for that and try to put a stop to it when we can in a loving as way as possible. He says in the 7th verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I'm going to take them to the fat pastures. I'm going to take them to the land of plenty. I'm going to take them to the clean, cool water. I'm going to have them lie down. I'm going to tend to their wounds. I'm going to take care of my sheep. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Christ laid down his life for the sheep. David would have given his life fighting that bear or that lion for his sheep. A good shepherd puts himself in harm's way for his sheep. This morning we heard about the sheep counted as sheep for the slaughter. The Lord suffered that slaughter for us. Jesus Christ was the one that was slaughtered for us. He says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth." He doesn't care. He careth not for the sheep. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." You think about back there in Ezekiel where he said he will search and seek his sheep. He knows his sheep. When he goes to find his sheep and they're not where they're supposed to be, there's going to be an accounting. Like, why are they not here? Where are they at? Give me an account, you shepherd. Tell me where my sheep are. And then when they're unable to answer in any satisfying way, he's going to go seek his sheep. He himself, he says, "I will seek my sheep." God himself, he says, I will come and I will seek my sheep. It said back there in Ezekiel that he had to be present with them to seek them. He had to be here to seek them. Again, it's a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, the good shepherd. And here it's fulfilled in the 10th chapter of John. The hireling fleeth and say, "I am a good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." I have other sheep and they are not of this fold. One thing about Livestock is, you pay for them, they're yours. Right? You may not have gone and picked them up yet, but they belong to you. Wherever they're at, whoever has them are liable to you for their care. Right? They are his sheep. Bought with a price, bought with the very blood of Christ. His sheep are his. Whether they know it or not, or whether the people in charge of them know it or not, they are his. Right? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So, I know that we think oftentimes we get into wanting to be strong, wanting to be mighty, wanting to be able to stand up for ourselves and for those that we love and be the predator, right? Our spirit animal or whatever you might say. But we are sheep. We are sheep. And it may not sound like the animal I want to identify as, right? It may not sound like, hey, this is something this good. And if you have a bad shepherd, I don't want to be a sheep with a bad shepherd. That's not a good place to be. That's terrible. I need to be taken care of. I need to be taken care of. I need to be led. I need somebody to tell me what's right and what's wrong. I need to be the food to be provided for me. I mean, show me where to go. Right? And if there's nobody there, if the ones that are supposed to be taking care of me are preying on me, that is a terrible place to be. You know, just vulnerable and not cared for. But we have a good shepherd. We have Jesus Christ our Lord as our shepherd. It's a wonderful place to be. Amen. King David said it like this in the 23rd Psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Sounds like a beautiful place to be. And if you're his sheep and you're not in the fold, if you haven't joined the church, it might look good from the outside. It's even better when you're in there. It looks wonderful. And I'll tell you this. Not all of God's sheep will come into his fold in time. Again, I wish that it was the case that we all just had this natural ability. The inner man hears his voice. The inner man responds. There's an effectual call. The shepherd calls, and that sheep that was dead is now alive. But there's this in this time, we have a fold that we can enter into. We can have provision and protection. But there is coming a day. There is coming a day when Christ will appear in the heavens, and he will shout with the sound of a trumpet, and his sheep will hear his voice and follow him to glory. I thank you for your kind attention. Give God all the honor and glory for anything else that benefits.
I love to hear about our shepherd, because he's a faithful shepherd. He's a powerful shepherd, and he's a providing shepherd. I'll just point you to one thing. As I heard Brother Josh speak those things, is he talking about sheep or is he talking about me or us? He's talking about us. The allusion is the sheep, but the meaning is to you. You're the sheep. And you mean everything to Christ because he bought you. He loved you with an everlasting love, and he laid down his life for you, and he's going to come get you. He's going to born you again, and he's going to receive you someday when time is no more. But until you're there, he's still concerned about your welfare. He's going back to heaven. But I think about the third time that he appeared to the apostles after his resurrection. Peter had denied him three times. He had dodged the things that were being said to him by the world. And then he looked in the eyes of the Lord and he went away. And he wept bitter tears. I don't find any place where he and Christ, Peter and Christ, ever had a conversation after that eye communication until this third time that he's appeared to the disciples. He's on shore, he's got fish on cooking. They've been fishing, they come up there and the fish are ready. And he talks to Peter finally. I want you to think about this from two perspectives. One, Brother Mark, it's you as his sheep. How important are you? You're his sheep. You are his possession. Purchased possession. And now the Lord looks at Peter in the eye. Put yourself in Peter's place. You're looking him dead in the eye. You're looking right in the eyes of the Lord who you had said, I don't know the man. I have nothing to do with the man. I curse the man. Now here I am. I dodged those bullets by the time over there by the campfire of the world. When I was out of the spirit. He was not in the spirit there. But now he looks at the Lord and he can't dodge. He can't go to the right or left. The Lord's got him right in his sight. And you think, boy, the Lord's going to lay it on him right now. He's going to get his vengeance on him. No. He puts in Peter's charge and to our charge. Mine and yours, you elders, you preachers, this is us too. He has put us in charge of his most prized possession, his purchased possession. And he tells Peter, he asked him, he said, lovest thou me more than these? Doesn't matter what that is. No matter what these are. It's anything. You put anything in that. Do you love me more than fish? Do you love me more than other disciples? Whatever you want to put in it. It's still, do you love me more than these? Peter said, thou knowest I love thee. He gives the right answer. He said, feed my sheep. Give them food. Give them food. Lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Put food out to them. But then he asked him a third time, and maybe I get the order out of order here, but my point is, the feeding is not all the same. The Greek word, you go study backwards and see the meaning of the feeding. When he says, feed us, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. One of those feeding is not putting out the food, but you tend to them. You doctor, you look after them. You spend time, you invest your labor in what I'm putting in your charge. That's a little scary to me, that the Lord has given us a charge to take care of his flock, to his sheep. How serious are we to make that commitment? It's everything. It's everything about us. Our very purpose of life and our ministry is to tend and to feed his sheep with the dedication that he demands us to lay our life out there and to feed and attend to my land. How great a charge is that? Sheep? You say, yeah, you preachers, y'all tend to us and you feed us. You be there to be fed. You be there to be tended to. You participate in the same assignment that he gave the apostles. feed my sheep, feed my lambs. You know, by preaching, it's not just for the high-minded of theology. We could get too theology-minded. We need to be common sense preaching with the lambs able to eat at the same trough as the older sheep, not forsaking those young ones, because the strong ones will push away the young ones and get to the food easier. So let us take our assignment that He gave us under shepherds, and we all know, brethren, don't we know we're under shepherds? We're not main shepherds. The great shepherd is our shepherd. And we go in His charge and not our own. We go with the food that He gives us to give to the sheep. That's how much the Lord loves you. That He feeds you through the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching. That you might eat at His table. I think of Mephibosheth and David. David, in his thoughts, is there any left of the house of Saul? Yeah, there's a boy that is lame on both feet. I think that's me. I think that's you too. We're lame on both feet. We can't walk on our own spiritually. We need the Lord to walk. But David said, you bring him here and you make him to sit at my table and to eat at my table. That's what the Lord has provided us in the church. Brother Gary, He's given us His table to come to. And you know, I just have to believe, David didn't just say, bring Mephibosheth, set him at my table and he can eat there and maybe I'll come across him every once in a while. I think David said, come have him eat at my table. I'm going to eat with him. I'm going to be right there at the table with him. And we're going to break bread together, because that's what the Lord does with us. In His church, He breaks the bread of life with us. He eats with us in the house of God, that good sheep food. And it's good for you, and it sustains you, and it'll comfort you. It'll comfort you.